The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On this week's episode, it's our much-belated summer movie recap. Better late than never. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Hope.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Welcome to episode 32 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
I do truly hope you enjoyed our last episode.
Hipsters enjoyed it.
I'm sure as hell didn't. We barely got to talk.
People in Plaid enjoyed it.
I have since then had to take several mandatory therapy classes, sessions to learn how to control my emotions better, and also... the basement has been condemned.
Recently, I've been told my butt has been hurting. People are saying, no, it doesn't. Every time I say it, I'm quite concerned.
So does it?
I think
it
does.
I don't know how to respond to that.
I don't...
You're not going to say it doesn't.
No,
right?
Either. Now I'm uncomfortable. Now I know how you guys felt.
Right? Anyway.
No, I enjoyed the prog. The prog rock episode.
No, it was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's just, you know, normally it's supposed to be equal mix of movies and music. And
originally this, the last episode and this episode, we're supposed to be
one episode. But
you know,
he took about 45
when you
minutes.
Get when you,
I mean, you gotta stop me. You gotta cut my mic off.
Three hipsters in a room together and start talking about prog rock. Shit's gonna go down.
Since then, still don't like AC/DC. Sorry.
I don't blame you.
I think we can forgive you on that one.
All right. Well, on this episode, or half episode, that's...
No, we'll call it a full
episode. We'll call it a full episode. We're not picky. We're going to give you a recap of all the movies that came out this summer. At least all the ones that we saw, because obviously...
Or we think are worth mentioning.
Right.
And we're going to compile it into one nice little top 10 list for you. I'm going to kick it over to Colin for this one, because... It's
Yay.
Time for me.
We have on sound effects right about here. Okay.
Anyway. Alright, well, we're kicking this off with the top 10. So.
Yeah.
Number 10.
How do we say it?
What? This is probably going to go down as my worst film of the year. In fact, if you're still listening in December... We're going to, at the end of the year, I'm going to do my top 10 films of the year. This, I guarantee you, I'm probably going to do top 10 best, top 10 worst. This is definitely going to rank number one on my top 10 worst.
Yes.
And that is Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon, or Transformers 3, Dark of My Anus.
There's a whole review, if you back catalog, episode...
It's back there somewhere.
It's back
in like
somewhere.
The middle of the summer.
I got the page right here. I'm looking, but keep talking.
To be perfectly honest, we got out all of our ire at that fucking movie.
And the thing is, since
episode
then,
17,
I've still heard lots of people
July 9th,
saying,
2011.
"Oh, Transformers was pretty good." You know, I mean, I saw the effects were pretty cool, right? I mean, it's the same thing like it was for the first movie. It's like we live in a little vacuum that is sealed off in the rest of the world where, like, we see something and we all share the same opinion. We're like, yeah, that was an utter piece of shit. And then we step outside the vacuum and everyone's like, oh, that was pretty good, right? That new chick's pretty hot.
See, though, those people who talk like that mostly do not see movies. And they when they watch a commercial, they want to go buy the product. They're not aware that somebody is trying to sell something to them.
Yes.
That someone edited that commercial. Someone shot that commercial.
You know
what
it is?
That commercial is paid for. That ad time is paid for.
Yeah, and you know what it is? They're the same people, when they were kids, got tricked by the Transformers television show and didn't realize it was... And they didn't realize it was like a 20-minute commercial for, hey, buy our shit.
Right.
Yeah. It's just standards, low have been lowered to the point where, like, if you're not a McDongaloid, you have no business going to the movies in the first place.
Exactly.
McDongaloids.
Stay at home. There's plenty of Netflix for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go watch Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Stay at home where it's safe.
Or Mega Python versus Gatorade.
Because if you go to the theater, it's going to be nothing but McDongaloids chattering and breeding.
Sometimes both.
It's spilling candy and popcorn all over the place.
With their pee stashes.
Goddamn.
Oh, goddamn pee stashes. Anyway. But anyway, I mean, we've gone over how pissed off that movie made us. And so, honestly, that movie and its creator, Michael Bay, are still taboo in our books. So,
dude, you just said it.
Oh, don't worry. We'll bleep it.
All right, good.
Yeah.
All right. Number nine is also another film we reviewed. Actually, I believe, if memory serves correctly, this is the first movie we actually reviewed under the new format.
Yeah, it was the first thing we saw this summer. Considerably less rage-inducing, but not that less shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you've been listening to the show, hopefully you have, yeah, we're talking about Thor.
Kenneth Branagh, yeah, production.
Oh. Why?
Kenneth Branagh.
Is there any reason why outside of, was it Aslan or
Asgard?
Asgard.
Wait, one of those
outside of Asgard.
One of those
as
is
soon
a magical
as they got
lion.
To Earth, it turned into a shitty sitcom.
I hated all the characters.
Didn't it turn into a shitty sitcom? As soon as, and then the one girl from what the fuck was she from? Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Yeah.
She was just being her awkward self, and she was the only comic relief, and it was just some ditzy chick.
I don't know, man.
There was the comic relief dwarf who wasn't actually a dwarf.
Actually, I'm gonna go on record saying this. There's only one character I liked in that whole movie, Black Heimdall, man.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knew.
We don't need to tell you what he knew. He knew.
No, he knew what he was doing. He just stood there. He's just like, fuck this movie.
Okay, Thor is supposed to be based. Thor is supposed to be based off the Norsemen, correct? And so, why is there a fucking Asian and a black dude?
Equal opportunity.
But it's fucking Asgard.
I asked the same
and it's
thing.
It's made in PC California. What do you want?
I went on this whole thing during our review. I was like, all right, it's based on Norse mythology, which comes from a very specific culture, the Viking culture. I can guarantee you there were no Asian-looking people in the entire, yeah, like, in the Scandinavian countries.
Producers and studio execs do not read books.
So, like, there would be no reason for there to be Asian people in the Norse city, because as far as the Vikings know, they are only people who look like them.
Right. That was a script change by a studio exec. I can definitely tell you that.
Also, Vikings didn't have horns.
Right.
Yeah.
Did I mention this is a Disney film?
Well, it's a Marvel film, but Marvel now is technically owned by Disney. Actually, no. Marvel is its own actual independent studio now.
Hmm.
They're still bought by Disney.
Well, no, it's the Marvel properties are owned by Disney, but Disney has nothing to do with the films.
I don't know, it just felt like Thor had Disney's dick in it. I don't know.
Let's be fair. Like, I mean, they've actually been an independent studio since Iron Man 2, I think? Which is kind of strange, because with the exception of maybe X-Men First Class, every movie since, every movie going from Iron Man forward, with the exception of that, and Captain America: The First Avenger, which we'll be talking about later in the list, have been uniformly shitty.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, right. Yeah. You can go back and hear our review for Thor, but it wasn't great.
No, it was shit.
Next list.
All right, number eight.
That's
Green
an interesting
Lantern.
One.
All right, Green Lantern. We're gonna go ahead and put a disclaimer on this one. Green Lantern. We didn't see Green Lantern.
Yeah, none of us saw this.
Green Lantern.
I heard a review from the How Did This Get Made podcast on the Earwolf Network.
Yeah?
It was, a lot of it was very, very shitty and just
shitty. I heard a review on the Stack of Dimes podcast.
I heard it was
part of
very
the Noisebeam Network.
Very, yeah. Yeah.
I heard a review from my roommate.
Point is, whatever source you choose to listen to, they pretty much were all saying the same thing. Green Lantern, was a turd sandwich.
Now, actually, here's what the review I got from one of my roommates. They went in, they saw the movie. And when they first got out of the movie, they were like, that wasn't too bad. It was a pretty good movie. And then slowly it started to creep in just more and more. And the rage just built and built until they realized, I just got suckered. I don't know what it was that brought on that slow buildup. But to be honest, the reason why we didn't rate this any lower is because the previous two films we saw, all, either the two of us or the three of us saw, and they were just so uniformly bad, we could not rate them any better.
Yeah, and we can't rate Green Lantern any lower, having not seen it.
Because it's like, well, we can't rate Green Lantern any higher because we haven't seen it, and we're not rating it any lower because those two films, I don't care how bad Green Lantern was, it's not as bad as those two films, I guarantee.
And yeah. Also, we needed one more film to pad out this list.
Yes, that too.
But, all right. I mean, I've never seen the criticism so uniformly negative against a movie as with Green Lantern. So, I think it's safe to say it's pretty low on the list.
Okay. Well, next up on the list is number 7, which is The Hangover Part 2. Now, I'm going to say this. I like The Hangover Part 2. I thought it was on par with the original. Not better. On par with it. I mean, The biggest central complaint I heard about that movie was they were just throwing in gags from the first film. I was like,
it was a complete rehash, was what it was.
Well, no, it wasn't.
It was just
Hangover 1 on crack.
That's a good description because it was just the first one, except all the. It's darker.
The next step.
It was just darker, more cruel.
It's because they were in a foreign country where. Quite frankly, there are no morals.
Right, but the stakes are, a lot higher, which you'd think would make it better, but it's just, at a certain point, you just feel dirty watching it.
Once again, I didn't say it was
one
a better film.
One of the things
film.
That I really
not
didn't
a bad
like
movie. I'm not going to say that either.
The shemale penis did not need
that,
to be
that, I'll
in
admit, that was even, I laughed at that joke at first, but I'm like, I felt bad. I felt bad as a human being.
That
laughing
is
at that
when,
joke.
Like, okay, I kind of almost went Victorian a little bit. I'm like, I don't need to see that.
Well, no one wanted to see that. Yeah. But let's be honest, that shit is there.
I think what you can, I think what we can really sum up about Hangover 2 is that it was not a bad movie, but it was a disappointing movie based on the level of talent that was involved with it.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah. So it
all
been so
I, but
much more.
I, there were some gleams of hope. There was Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
His performance is pretty
it
solid.
Was hilarious. I don't doubt that. I didn't doubt that. It was definitely funny.
Probably the best part of that entire movie, I'll have to admit. I mean, forget all the comedy, but I mean, there was a fucking monkey smoking a cigarette.
That was fucking awesome.
Paul Giamatti was honestly wasted, though. He was totally wasted on that.
Right. Yeah. Well, just like John Malkovich's cameo in Transformers 3.
Yeah, exactly.
They're taking, like, big-name talent and just dropping them in for fucking useless reasons.
But yeah, let's move on to the next number on the list. All right,
number 6. And that is Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Now, somebody saw this movie.
I did, and I reviewed it on
BNS Reviews.
BNS Reviews. We also have a few sound clips from the original Planet of the Apes with a Charlton Heston. So you'll notice that in the intro, as well as the Simpsons Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius.
Starring Troy McClure.
If you look closely, there is a part in Rise of the Planet of the Apes where on the TV screen is a little Charlton Heston cameo.
Right.
But I saw it too, obviously. And
I thought it was good. It was good without the people, it would be the best movie.
The CGI, I normally don't say this because
it sounds like a cop-out.
It sounds like a cop-out to say that, oh, well, the CGI was really good. But honestly, it was amazing.
They did their homework. It wasn't just facial recognition. It wasn't just motion capture. It took all those the motion capture industry is just is something. It's a world of its own. A lot of people use it. It's kind of like a trope, kind of like this cliche thing that everyone's using, like a Robert Zemeckis used. But this one, what's his name? Andy Serkis from Lord of the Rings.
That guy is a genius.
Gollum, who played King Kong in the other Peter Jackson
Gollum.
Film.
He was Gollum.
Yeah, he was Gollum. He's really good with this motion capture business, and he's very good in the technology, and he understands what you need to do to make things look real on the computer, and then other people come in and layer on top of that, and they studied chimps for this, and they studied apes, and they studied all types of these primates, and they did their homework, and it really shows.
Yeah.
Like, in some of the facial expressions that the chimp has, like, it doesn't just show, like, happiness and sadness, there's also remorse. And just complex emotions that it's really hard to get off CGI nowadays.
Well, you know what else it really was? It was the eyes, because it's so hard. Of all the things that are difficult to do with CGI, eyes are by far the most difficult. I mean, that's where that phrase "Uncanny Valley" comes from.
Final Fantasy: Spirits Within. There's an example of one movie obvious besides the eyes was almost realistic looking. And then all of a sudden you see the eyes and you're like, right. I don't buy it.
Right, that's where this phrase Uncanny Valley comes from, is that everything looks utterly realistic. It could almost pass for real life, except the eyes are clearly not human. They're just cold, dead, soulless
and plus,
orbs.
You should see the movie just for the sheer fact that apes wreck the shit out of policemen. And it's awesome. They wreck human shit.
Those apes rise. All right, they rise. Do a damn good job of it.
All right. Well, that was number six. Number five. I'm gonna go ahead and admit this. Number five. It was a movie that we were all pretty skeptical going in on.
I definitely thought this was gonna be much lower on the list, but
to be honest, I mean,
shows
we all
what I know.
Went. Well, I mean, we all went. It was actually a pretty solid movie.
And
it's Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely not a great film.
Not the best film I've seen this year. But let's be honest, we all went in thinking it was going to be a shit fest from start to finish.
I'm telling you, the first 30 minutes, actually all the way up until the last 10 minutes of the movie, I enjoyed. Like the last 10 minutes was just freaking hilarious. It just started to become ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
let me guess. I want to take a guess as to where the movie lost you.
Let me guess.
Is it where Harrison Ford and the Indian Chief share that moment where they're like, I hated you before, but I respect you now?
Is that also the entire invasion scene? The invasion scene where they're invading the alien fort or whatever you call it, the ship. The long penis stuck in the ground that's supposed to be
the enemy shaft.
The enemy shaft.
The enemy shaft.
The enemy shaft.
Invading the enemy's shaft.
Oh, t-shirt.
I mean, that part was...
All hail the enemy shaft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been a proponent of campaigning to change the Washington Monument to the Freedom Shaft.
Freedom Shaft.
Just saying.
All hail the Freedom Shaft.
If there's anyone out there who works in government who could make this happen, I really think we should change the Washington Monument to the Freedom Shaft. But that's neither here nor there. The ending was kind of rushed. But overall, entertaining. I mean, you're not going to walk out of the theater wanting to punch someone.
I mean, it starts out with Daniel Craig wrecking people's shit. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah,
Daniel Craig was epic in that movie.
Pretty
Harrison
badass.
Ford was epic in that movie.
Nice comeback for Harrison
this.
Ford.
Actually, you guys both were...
We all reviewed this as well.
Yeah, on
Olivia Wilde.
BS Reviews.
Yeah. Olivia Wilde.
Fine.
Hot.
Fine, but a creeper in some cases.
Very out of place. Like, does not fit in with the rest of the cast.
She was... I swear she was gonna just, like, tie him up.
But that's explained.
And an utterly...
You find out why.
An utterly weird twist when you find out what she is, and kind of an unsatisfying one, but...
Yeah.
Hot, you know?
You know.
She's hot.
What Phoenix should have been.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. She was there... No, she was there for looks. We all know this. Let's just move on. All right, number three. Actually, number four.
Number four.
Number four, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Pot D.
Now, I gotta admit it. I didn't see this film. To be honest, I haven't seen any Harry Potter films since Goblet of Fire, really.
Wow.
Because quite honestly, you're not really going to, in my mind, you're never going to top when Cedric Diggory's dad just comes running out of the stands screaming about how his kid just got murdered. Riposte, let me through. It's my son. It's my boy.
Sean, did you see it?
Yes, I did. And I enjoyed it in both the wrapping up and the ending of Harry Potter, which I can agree. I think some people can agree with me saying, "Yay!"
Spoiler alert: Harry kills Voldemort.
Duh.
My roommate's just like, "What?"
Lessons to be learned from this film. I would think Voldemort gives creepy hugs, and he is a strange man.
He is a strange man.
He is a strange man.
I'll make my comments brief about this, namely because I got to be careful what I say, since my girlfriend is one of the biggest Harry Potter fans in existence.
You mean Harry Potter the movie or Harry Potter the book?
Everything. Everything. Just the Harry Potter verse.
Tread lightly.
You would be hard-pressed to find a bigger Harry Potter fan
tread lightly,
than Lena.
Right,
you're going to tread lightly, but I'm going to wreck Harry Potter shit.
But the thing is, I don't feel... I actually really liked it. I mean... Part one was a snooze. It was Harry Potter's emo camping trip.
It was.
I mean, these three kids wandering around the woods for an hour and a half, and very little happens. The locations were cool. That was nice, but pretty boring. Part two was the exact opposite. It was fast paced. I mean, it was actually the shortest Harry Potter movie, which is still pretty long. It's still like over two hours.
Didn't feel like it, though.
But it really doesn't feel... It does not drag by like some of the other ones do. It goes by pretty quickly, and that's mainly because it's pretty much just the Battle of Hogwarts. I mean, almost right. The entire thing, except for the Gringotts scene at the beginning, it pretty much, beginning to end, it's the Battle of Hogwarts. And it's an exciting, you know, 2 hours to see. It's... A lot of people are dying. Spells are flying everywhere. I mean, it's the ultimate confrontation that we've been waiting for. And honestly, Neville Longbottom... Friggin' badass. I mean, best, by far the best character in that film.
Also, BS reviews this movie as well. We reviewed a lot of summer movies, and we did what it's called Patronus on Ice. I figure you
okay.
Appreciate that. Your girlfriend will appreciate
that's,
that.
That's a clever title.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. We have an interview with Severus Snape. So
oh, good.
Nice. In the intro. Anyway, the one part I started to laugh is when they cast the shield over Hogwarts to protect them from the mm-hmm. ring race that are coming in. essentially what they were.
You can go ahead and just their ring race. I know Lena will probably be mad that we're referring to, but their ring race.
Hey, it's
okay,
Hey, Tolkien's original OC, baby.
Not school.
The Dementors, I believe they're.
Whatever.
Just to prove that I know what they're
J-R-R,
called.
J-R-R, you know me.
Go on, Sean.
Anyway, they're throwing their wands up there, and what they're saying, it was very inaudible. You couldn't really tell what they were saying, but it just sound. But you could actually dub. You could probably when you watch it again, probably could redub with any words, and it would sound just hysterical. Like one of them, I swear they said turnip. Like they were casting, or like. Abracadabra turnip. I'm like, what the fuck? But he's casting a shield.
Yeah, it's a turnip shield.
Turnip shield.
Well, turnips are like, you know, a dome. It's kind of dome shaped.
But they're on the ground.
Vaguely turnip.
There you go. You know, all right.
They're horrible. Anyway.
Next on the list, number 3, Super 8.
I love this movie.
Do you?
Yeah, Sean wanted this at number 1.
I did.
And through concessions, it dropped to 3.
Well, confessions, because I'm usually a sucker for original, like, Spielberg, light-hearted, Spielberg light movies.
Yeah, what was disappointing to me...
The lighter calorie version of Spielberg movies.
And see, that's the
movies.
Thing. Normally, I'd be in perfect agreement with you. I really would.
Because it was very... people say, well, they learned too much of the Goonies. I'm like, but it was reminding of people of a time before that. He was grabbing that audience... That core that used to be there, and then J.J. Abrams putting his stuff onto it. The one thing I didn't like about it...
Lens flare.
Yeah, fucking lens flare. I don't know what's fucking J.J., and he keeps on bringing his cinematographer...
He's got a very limited bag of tricks.
Add lens flare. I'm like, stop it with the lens flare. It's fucking annoying. One shot, I'll give you one shot full of lens flare, and then that's it. That's all you can do.
You know what it is? You know what it is?
It wasn't ridiculous as Star Trek, but it was...
Think of it this way. The best way to think about it is any movie JJ works on, imagine this is the cinematographer with JJ is kind of like Rick McCallum with George Lucas when they were doing the new Star Wars films. Every time George is like, put Jar Jar here. No, we're not putting Jar Jar here. Forget it.
Well, we've tried it for a new digital medium, and you'll notice we have different celebrities in the auditorium.
See? But anyway, so...
Well, they're judging a court case. It's kind of like my divorce.
And now you know why the prequels were made.
I mean, okay.
The judge hovered.
Anyway.
Super 8. Yeah, it's very, like... It is kind of, nostalgic. It's a pastiche. It's got Spielberg written all over it. It is pretty much E.T. meets the
monster.
Goons.
I like the things I miss from monster movies, and I miss that the element of like a surprise and mysteriousness. You know, like this that well because they didn't show the monster
yeah
until like very end.
I mean, I thought it did a good job of keeping you on the edge of your seat, keeping you in suspense, which is why I was really disappointed that the guys from the Stack of Dimes podcast, which I've mentioned a couple times, I've plugged, it's an amazing podcast. Unfortunately, they didn't like it. In fact, one of them said he fell asleep in the movie. I was like, he's like, it was so boring, I fell asleep. I was like, really? I mean, you know, I respect your opinions, but I thought it was good.
The ADHD hits people sometimes. You have to see it in the right mood. And plus, a lot of...
Tryptophan.
And it took space. A lot of movies now do not use space as a medium. Silence, just pure what the motion that's sitting there. Everything's quick cut. Everything's just keep going.
It tugs on your heartstrings. It really knows it. I mean, J.J. Abrams, I think, is pretty good at that. At getting you emotionally invested in the characters. I mean, the thing between the kid and his dad, and just the kid and the little girl,
and Spielberg's coordination with the camaraderie of the kids. And it was believable.
Yeah, and working with child actors is a tough thing to do, and those kids all did a really good job. And it's also, like, I want to go back to the thing between the main character and the girl. The sort of, like, it's a very fine line you have to tread with, like, when you're dealing with, like, preteens, because you're sort of that budding relationship, but you don't want to make it, you don't want to have any, like, sexual undertones, you know, because right. then it gets weird. And, you know,
it didn't get weird.
It didn't get weird. It was like, yes, this is a genuine, like, sort of relationship that like preteens would have, like where it's not, you know, it's not anywhere in a sexual territory, but like it's still obviously they're starting to like
they hold hands,
you know.
Yeah, it was at that cute stage, which is fine. It's funny you leave it like that because you know we got more important things to worry about, aliens, exactly. You know.
Right.
And what's her name?
Because that was like the same thing John Allison said about his comic.
Yeah.
Something Fanning. It's Dakota Fanning's sister. Kind of,
yeah. I don't know.
A Fanning. Miss Fanning.
One Fanning.
One Fanning.
The elder.
Best actor I've seen so far. Like, female young actress I've seen so far this year. Very, very
who
talented.
Who was the dad, the cop? That's the guy from Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah,
I don't know the
yeah.
actor's name, though, because I've never seen that show.
I haven't seen that show either. I've seen him in other stuff, too. He was pretty good.
He was pretty good. He was good.
The kid was pretty good too, but he kind of reminded me of the what's his name in Almost Famous. It's probably the haircut.
The kid in Almost Famous.
But the difference is the kid in this emoted. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Sean.
Right.
Goonies never give up. Goonies never say die.
One point they were
playing. You guys.
The music turned Goonies. When they're back, they went back into the facility.
Wait, no.
Went back into school to get to the old films.
Yeah,
you hear this music. Doop, 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 doop. I'm like, this is fucking Goonies.
Well, okay, so you're talking about like the orchestral Goonies music, not the Sidney Lauper Goonies music.
Oh hell no.
Okay, cool. Just check.
For someone you, it's needs good to... enough. For you, it's good enough. Good
someone
enough
needs
me.
To
I,
put
I,
out a someone needs to put out a CD that's just titled "The Orchestral Goonies." Like in really
that'd
fancy.
That'd be a great band name, the Orchestral Goonies.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
All right.
So we like Super 8.
Yes.
Yes.
Number two, probably one of my favorite movies of the year. I mean, definitely one of my favorite movies of the summer. Hopefully, this will probably be in my top 10 by the end of the year.
I loved this movie.
Yes, Captain America: The First Avenger. Now,
I was really disappointed that we didn't get to do a whole review episode for this one.
Now, I will say this much. This movie is number two for a couple of different reasons. Now, the primary being that the final fight between him and the Red Skull was very disappointing. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it was bad, but it was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I think it was, and it just kind of like, let's wrap it up, Come on, we got a movie to finish. I'm like, can't we just, you know, do more than
this?
This
is like the epic fight scene we were paid to see.
Right, and they spend the entire movie building it up. Excellently, by the way.
Yeah.
I just, it's just where it ended off is where I lost it.
Yeah, it's basically, the movie's about an hour and a half. The first hour is just gold, in my opinion.
Really yeah. good. Captured the 50s.
You mean 40s.
40s, 50s. Captured back then.
Yes. They,
the old time of days.
The old time of days.
Anyway, so...
I was born in 1986, what do you expect?
Anyway, so, yes, I would definitely say that the first hour of the film is probably the best portion of it.
Right.
The sequence going into the final, going into the end, not that great. I mean, not saying it's bad, but it's definitely... It was definitely weaker than the number one film, which I'm actually going to get to right now.
Oh, well, okay. Can I just say my piece real quick on Captain America?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Because here's what I just want to say, what I really, really liked about this movie is that it was consistent. Like, that has been such a problem with some of these comic book movies, is that they're not, especially with tone, is it like, 1 minute they want to be super serious, but then the next they're trying to throw in, like, some stupid, like, comic relief character that, like, just brings everything down.
Racist robots.
Yeah. I mean, it's the exact opposite of Transformers, because Transformers has, like, a billion different characters. It has, like, eight different side plots all going at the same time.
There's no such thing in the Transformers, there's no such thing as crescendo, which this movie, which you know, Captain America used a lot of sort of transitions between yeah. the characters and what they were doing. One problem I had, well, the other problem I had was with the villain. Could have been a
Hugo
little
Weaving.
Bit... Yeah, it could have been a little better on the makeup, and what's his name from
he was a little
the
hammy.
Doctor, the German doctor. I couldn't believe his German accent. I was having trouble.
Yeah,
I was figured he was gonna be like Venture Brothers. Excuse me, I have to find my magic mother back. You know, I was figuring he wants to say that.
Uh-huh.
It's something where I thought the what's his name the. Hugo, was it Hugo Weaving?
Yeah, Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Weaving?
Agent
he
Smith.
Looked like a pack Elrond. Of Big Red.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Definitely, all right, Captain America, I'm going to go ahead and say, Captain America is one of the better summer blockbusters, but not without its faults.
Yeah, well,
Tint of Brown would...
It knew exactly what it wanted to be. It said, we're going to be just kind of a cheesy blockbuster summer action movie, and right. that's all it did, and it did it great. And also... Thank God it had a main character who was actually likable. So many comic book heroes, Green Lantern especially, they're just obnoxious and unlikable. And how
might as well have Ross from Friends.
Right. How do you root for a main character who
imagine
you don't
that
how that is completely unlikable? But you know what? That guy who played Captain America, super likable.
Chris Evans.
Yeah, Chris Evans.
Hi, I'm
was
Hal
also
Jordan.
In Scott Pilgrim and was awesome in that. I was every moment
he
I was rooting
that.
For him.
He was also the Human Torch in the
Yeah, like,
right.
I mean, maybe it's because, like, oh, you know, it's a patriotic movie, and of course you're going to feel good about it, but, like, I don't even think about that. He's just like, yeah, he's an underdog, and you get behind him, and you're just like, yeah, go, do that. Punch those guys, be awesome, but he's not, like, he's not super cocky, but he's also not, like, brooding and pouty. He's, like, right.
I am going to say this much.
That's it.
Okay, I'm going to say this much because, as most people know, the last comic book releases movies, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Thor,
right.
Captain America, those have all been building up towards Avengers, which I believe is coming out next year?
Yeah.
Next year?
Yeah, they had the preview for it in Captain America.
Yes, I wasn't there to see that.
It was really good.
I'm excited.
I bet it was.
I'm
really
genuinely
good.
Excited.
I'm really excited.
See, the thing is, you know, I look at it and I'm like,
you know, it's there's a thing called YouTube. Perhaps you've heard of it.
It's this new technology where we can put them online and you can watch them instantly.
I'll probably watch the trailer, but I don't think my skepticism is going to go away. I don't think it's going to be a good movie.
Well, that's you.
No, I just let's be honest here.
You and your negativity, you're just bringing everyone down.
Well, hear me out.
In summation.
Hear me out. In any of these big films...
No, I see what you're saying.
When you've got more than two actors...
It's a lot
two
of hype.
Big-name actors...
Right.
You suddenly start taking focus away from the fucking story, and the movie just falls apart as a result.
Can anyone tell me that forgot... Everyone, I think we forgot Tommy Lee Jones in this movie. He fit like a puzzle piece.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That was the other thing.
Snuggly in there.
I said that I was done with Captain America, but that was the only last thing that I wanted to say. The jokes were actually funny.
Yes.
That is so rare that I actually laugh at the jokes in a comic book movie, but they were actually well written. Bam.
He's still small.
Yeah, like Tommy Lee Jones, hilarious.
And coming in at number one.
Number one is X-Men vs. Class.
I think this movie took everyone by surprise at how good it was.
I mean, let's be honest here.
The commercials, I was like, eh, it's going to be... Yeah.
Same here. I was like, eh, I don't really want to see
I that. Heard there was going to be another X-Men movie. After X-Men 3 and X-Men Origins Wolverine, I was not...
ready to go
I was
back.
Not. I was not ready to go back. But
after
like,
them killing off Cyclops.
I was not... I could not get hurt again.
But, well, and so what happened was, I waited until, like, it was about to come out. And then I saw some of the trailers, and I found out that the movie was going to be set in the 60s. I was like, okay. And it's going to be about the origins of Xavier and Magneto putting the school together. I was like, okay.
Okay.
And then I saw the trailer of Magneto lifting a freaking submarine out of the ocean. I was like,
this looks good.
I was like, shit, now I'm going to have to go see this movie.
Please, movie, don't disappoint me.
And, of course, I went to go see it, and... the movie completely blew me away. I mean, Michael Fassbender, James McAvoy.
Yeah.
I mean,
excellent chemistry. Especially Fassbender. I mean, that guy, like, carried that movie. And McAvoy's no slouch either.
I was going to say, I'm going to honestly say, out of the two characters, I think McAvoy was the far more convincing.
Well, really? I mean, he definitely had more screen time, so he had a lot more, like, heavy lifting to do. But every time Magneto was on screen, I was riveted. Like,
no, I totally agree. It's just, let's be honest here. If it was just Fassbender, it would have been, the movie only would have been about 45 minutes, maybe at the most.
Yeah.
Because Fassbender would have gone in, killed everybody, and then bam, movie over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with McAvoy, you not only get, you know, him, his personal life, but then you also get how he tries to heal Magneto's psyche. He tries to heal Magneto's fractured psyche, and it actually looks like he's making headway. But finally, at the end, and you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and, spoiler alert, I'm just going to give you that right now.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. Finally, it's like, at the end... You know, it seems like Magneto is not, you know, Magneto basically just like, you know what, screw it, I've tried being good, this has to happen. Probably the most visceral scene in that entire movie, not gonna lie, takes a $5 coin and just magnetically pushes it through Kevin Bacon's forebrain.
What's even funnier is, like, when I was watching that, everyone was just like, that's so disgusting, what is that? I'm like... Now I can add the coin to my Kevin Bacon connection.
Yeah, the 6 points of Kevin Bacon.
I mean, well, let's not forget to talk about that. How awesome was Kevin Bacon in that movie?
Right?
Like, no one, I don't even think, did anyone know he was going to be in that movie? Like,
I had no idea. He was not.
I was like, what the hell is Kevin Bacon doing
I don't
here?
Remember seeing him in any of the trailers for this.
Right, they kept him out of the trailers. He was like.
They surprised us with a Kevin. They surprised
I know,
us
right?
with a Bacon.
I
don't you love
if memory serves correctly.
Bacon,
I think
bacon, whether in last name or physical entree, is always a nice surprise.
Always a nice treat.
Yeah. If memory serves correctly, I think the only skepticism we had for that movie when it came out was like one of the kid characters was kind of dumb. It just, you know, basically
several of them were.
Well, especially the one I'm thinking of, especially Angel.
Yeah, butterfly wings.
Yeah,
let's not forget the most epic death. Of the black guy on the team.
Oh yeah, Darwin.
The black mutant always dies first.
Yeah,
it was pretty epic though.
It was pretty sweet, and I will admit he had like the best mutant power, and they killed him off. Yeah. I was like, son of a bitch.
He was pretty awesome. My only two complaints about this movie, and they're pretty small given how awesome the movie is. One, January Jones cannot act at all. She is physically incapable of displaying any human emotion. Yeah. I hate her with a fiery passion.
I know.
Same here. The movie would have been a lot better.
Number two,
her.
Screaming gingers. That's it. That's all. That's the only complaints I have about the movie.
Normally I'd take offense, but yeah, that kid was kind of annoying.
Yeah. Other than that, loved it whole way through.
All right, but let's see. Yeah, Michael Fassbender, the coin. Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm gonna put it out to you guys as well.
Red Nightcrawler was pretty sweet too.
I don't think the audience is gonna Azazel, answer that if one more thing.
But I'm not gonna lie. Who here was counting the number of times in like the last half hour where, you know, we all thought, oh, Xavier got crippled. Damn it.
And then when it finally does happen,
when you're down, you're down. When you're only halfway up, you're
well, it's like the Blackbird crashes, Magneto lands like right on his back, and I'm not like, you know, just like a oof. I mean, like, seriously, he's dropped from 8 feet up and bam, right on his spine. And he like literally is like, ah! I'm like, okay, there it is.
It was good.
And then he gets up and like, no, okay, fine. So then it's, what was it? Then it was, he's trying to control Shaw. Magneto puts the coin through his brain. So since he's still in there, he's feeling every freaking inch of that going through. So I thought, okay, it's got to be that.
Yeah.
No?
The Crispin Glover in Hot Tub Time Machine with the arm. You're like, all right, now he's going to lose it. Oh, come on.
it's quite honestly, and then when he does get it, spoiler alert, he gets shot in the back because Magneto's not fucking paying attention.
Right.
Figures. Right?
It's figures. Just,
well, I mean, it's like more it's like McTaggart shooting, you know, Magneto, and Magneto's just like, meh, meh, meh.
It's like a free ride when you're already paid.
And, like, we were all like, son of a bitch, that sucks.
Right. She shoots him, and he deflects the bullet directly into his spine.
Yeah. So it's like, now we're like, oh, great. Now he's going to be fucking...
Whoopsie!
Right? But anyway, so I would definitely say, as of right now, I'm not going to lie. As of right now, X-Men First Class does actually set the number one on my movies of the year.
Let's not forget the director that you noticed at the credits. You said you noticed the director who directed another film called Layer Cake.
Matthew Vaughn, who's famous for producing the first two films in the Guy Ritchie trilogy.
Right.
Which was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch. Matthew Vaughn was the producer on both of those films, then went out and directed his own film, Layer Cake, starring Daniel Craig, who was in Cowboys and Aliens.
Did we talk about that one in a previous episode?
Yes, we did.
I think we talked about our unexpected moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so that's a good one.
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn, it was honestly, if they could have picked a director, that completely would have, it was awesome. I was not expecting to be barreled over the way I was. I was like, that is by far probably one of my more favorite comic book movies. Not a great comic book adaptation. There were some issues, I'll admit. But it was still a pretty good movie. It was an interesting movie. It kept me gripped all the way through. Hugh Jackman. 15-second cameo.
Awesome.
Almost stole the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Cameo is like, so you want it? Fuck you.
Like, literally, they show up, introduce like, themselves, he just turns around, he's like, fuck off.
They use their fuck.
And they did.
They get their one the right fuck. Person.
Fuck off, they
PG-13,
did.
PG-13, you get one fuck.
PG-13, you get one fuck.
Fucking, or...
He was that fuck,
fuck
off.
Or a derivative
however
of,
you want to conjugate it.
Yeah, we
got we
or
got
the derivative
we,
of.
We got it. Yeah, and they listened.
They listened. They just,
off is the direction that they fucked.
And if memory serves correctly, does anybody else remember, like, at the beginning of the film when they were, because they redid the opening sequence from X-Men for X-Men First Class, and which is where young Eric is being led through the Nazi death camp.
Yep.
And it was, quite frankly, is almost shot for shot,
yeah,
redone. Like, people were like, why are they using footage from the first X-Men film? I'm like, they're not. That's a different kid, different mother, different father. It's completely different. But honestly, if you hadn't, if you'd seen the first film and then not known they'd reshot it the second time, you wouldn't have noticed the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was pretty epic.
So, well done. Well done. Summation. X-Men First Class.
X-Men First Class.
So, that is our top 10 list. Summer 2011, a mixed bag, but you know what? Ain't it always? You know, that's
usually the case.
That is going to the movies nowadays. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
But as long as there's a few good gems that manage to find their way to the surface,
still makes it worth going.
It's still worth going to the movies, yep, and shelling out our $50 million. And
it's basically, you know, $15 for your ticket. Taking out a small bank loan to get some refreshments.
Yeah. Right. Selling off one of your children.
So you
for some Twizzlers.
It's like, I will sell my fucking kidney for some Reese's Pieces.
Take the little one. For some Cabbage Patch Kids. Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids.
Sorry. I would like some extra butter. Just take the little one. He doesn't talk yet.
I knew I should be able to cabbage.
You can mold him. He'll be a perfect employee.
Put him in the popcorn mines.
Send him to the popcorn mines with the others. All right. Well, that's our summer movie recap.
That was
fun. And yeah, movies. That's why we do what we do.
That there is an episode.
Indeed. Well, until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakmus.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Los Tres Monos production.
Rumor has it that Zack Snyder is going to be directing new Superman.
Come, son of Jor-El, kneel before Zod! Snoochie-boochies, and...